This is a simple game. You throw the ball, you hit the ball, you catch the ball. You got it!
Show that Red Sox Nation turns to first. This is Boston's most listened to nightly baseball show, The Baseball Reporters with Tony Maz. Brought to you by Jordan's Furniture, Big Y World Class Market, Brennan Smoke Shop, Rodenheiser Plumbing, Heating, AC and Electric, Ron Bouchard's Auto Stores, Advanced Auto Parts, U.S. Marker Board, Boston Volkswagen, Gravely Zero Turn Lawnmower, Foxwoods Resort Casino, Jackson Lumber, and Mass General Cancer Center. On Boston's home for sports, 98.5, The Sports Hub.
Yeah, I've definitely relied on my defense a lot. You know, it just kind of seemed like I had to kind of revert over to my off-speed pitches more. That just seemed like they were kind of waiting for the fastball. So, you know, we were kind of heavy on changeup sliders tonight, and it's kind of what we had to do. That was kind of the game plan going through.
So I call bull crap on Chris Sale with the whole explanation of what last night was and what they had to rely on. I don't believe it. I don't. And again, these are West Coast games. It's the first week of the season, so a lot of you aren't dialed in yet. But nonetheless, we'll do our best to get you dialed in, because I think your level of concern for the Red Sox should be a little bit higher than what it is. I'm not telling you it's a five-alarm fire or whatever. I'm just telling you that I think your level of concern should be a little higher than it is. And the Red Sox cavalier approach, this rampage through the American League and the National League and the World Series in 2018, I think created a false sense of security for the 2019 Boston Red Sox, and they're now experiencing the negative side effects of that. 1-5 to start this season now, following a 1-0 loss last night to the Oakland A's out in Oakland. 617-779-0985. I'll ask Jimmy Stewart, our producer, to open up the phone lines right away. We'll take any your calls on anything and everything Red Sox or baseball, for that matter, as we always do. But I do think there's a little bit of a disconnect right now because of the games being on the West Coast and because the Red Sox haven't played in Boston yet. So I think people wake up, they see the score, and say, oh my God, they lost again. But they're not really living it yet. They're not really feeling it yet. And if you watched at all last night, and I didn't stay up for the whole game. The West Coast games are hard. I'm not blaming you. I'm just telling you that there's a disconnect. So if you stayed up and watched any of it last night, and you saw Chris Sale throwing 89 miles per hour, I don't know how you didn't look at it and shake your head a little and go, huh, what's this about? What's really going on here? So as it pertains to Sale, and there's all types of data out there. We read some of this for you in the afternoon program in the Felger and Maz show. That Vinny Crouch, the TV producer of our simulcast up in Burlington, noted that Red Sox starters to this point, not just Chris Sale, have pitched with some of the lowest velocity of any start that they've ever had in their careers. To a man, they're pitching with less velocity, which tells you that it's by design. That the Red Sox are easing these guys into the season, and that they are treating April and March like the Patriots typically treat September. That's what they're telling you. All of which is true. I don't dispute any of that. But I would also tell you that with regard to Chris Sale, we just played a cut for you, Sale postgame. Jimmy, let's play that one again, if you would. That was Sale number two. Is that right, Jimmy?
Yeah.
Go ahead. I'm sorry.
Yeah, I definitely relied on my defense a lot. You know, it just kind of seemed like I had to kind of revert over to my off-speed pitches more. That just seemed like they were kind of waiting for the fastball. So, you know, we were kind of heavy on changeup sliders tonight, and it's kind of what we had to do. That was kind of the game plan going through.
They were waiting on my fastball, so we had to revert. Just hold that phrase for a second. Jimmy, play Sale number one, if you would, as well. Go ahead.
It's tough, you know. We're losing, obviously, back-to-back games in the start series. Yeah, you obviously want to get off to a better, you know, start than that, but it is what it is. You take it off the chin, show up tomorrow, and keep grinding.
Okay, so honestly, I thought it was more Sale about his pitching. That's my mistake, Jimmy, not yours. But the whole velocity thing with the fastball. I didn't have my fastball, so I had to revert to my other stuff. Can I ask a very simple question to you, Jim Murray, or to you, Jimmy Stewart,
sure,
before we get to the callers? When has Chris Sale ever not been willing to throw his fastball by a guy?
There's no time I can remember.
I can remember lots of times where guys were on Sale's fastball and he just blew them away.
Yeah.
They knew it was coming.
If anything, even when he's been hurting, he'll throw it to his detriment. You know?
It doesn't have anything to do with the predictability of the fastball. It has everything to do with the velocity of it. It's not the predictability of it. They were sitting on my fastball. If you were throwing 97, it wouldn't matter. This is sort of the point. And so this idea that all of a sudden velocity is not important, and there was one particular comment that really sent me over the edge. We don't have audio of it, so I have to read it for you. It was in the Globe story today. The name of the game isn't velocity. It's giving your team a chance to win, Sale said. The name of the game is not velocity. What? Since when? Are we okay with Rich Hill pitching game one of the playoffs now? Because that's what he looks like out there. The last time I heard, whenever I hear baseball people talk, you know what they tell me? In October, you know what the name of the game is? Velocity. Stuff. Why did the Red Sox bring in Colton Brewer, who by all accounts is a stiff? The answer? Stuff. Velocity. You want to throw spin rate on there? Throw that on there too. But it's stuff. Why was Craig Kimbrell acquired? He has great stuff. Why is Matt Barnes the closer? Because he throws hard. He throws 97. Brazier, 96. Stuff. Velocity. That's what we want. And being the kind of person I am, like, because, again, that comment went right up my tailpipe today. It really did, because I just think it's so disingenuous. The name of the game isn't velocity. You know who the top finishers were in the American League Cy Young voting last year? Blake Snell won it. Average velocity last year, 96 miles an hour. Justin Verlander, second, 95. Corey Kluber, 92, 93. He's on the low end. Okay, he's on the low end. The rest of them, Sale, 96. Gerrit Cole, 97. Trevor Bauer, 95. Blake Treinen, 98. Luis Severino, 98. Edwin Diaz, 98. All across the board, velocity, velocity, power, 96, 95, 93, 96, 97, 95, 98, 98, 98. Last night, Chris Sale, 89. The home run he allowed that decided the game, 88. So now look, is it by design? At this stage, I'd say at least in part. But the rest of it? Is Chris Sale going to make up 10 miles an hour in his fastball? Maybe. I don't rule it out. But boy, that's a big jump. He's starting at a place that is farther back than I thought. And I said this last year when they were going into the postseason, he has more ground to travel than I thought he did. I didn't think Sale would lose as much as he did during the middle of the year last year when he was on the disabled list, as it turned out that he lost. And furthermore, even with the Red Sox taking this approach, is there any guarantee that it's going to save Sale at the end? Because it didn't last year. Alex Cora said the other day, well, we did the same thing we did last year. Look at the results. Well, for Sale, it didn't work. I'm talking about Sale now, not the whole staff. And so I ask you, as a Red Sox follower, after game one with Chris Sale, I could say, well, that was okay. 93 is all right. He's fine there. He can get that back up, no problem. But 89, 89. Holy moly. Now I have to worry about that one, too. And again, I'm probably worrying about nothing. But I have to worry about that one, too. 89 miles an hour. The lowest average velocity of a fastball, of the fastball by Sale, in his career in any game. He's never thrown it softer than he did last night. And a guy who lives at 96 comes out and tells me the next day that the name of the game is not velocity. Either they've brainwashed him, he's selling me a bill of goods, or there's something wrong with him, or he's never going to be the same. I don't think it's the last thing. I hope it's not. But I don't know. Again, I know you're not staying up for these games, but if you are, you'd feel like I feel. We'll get right to your calls here. We'll kick it off tonight with Ben, who's in a car. Ben, what do you got?
Hey, thanks for taking the call.
Sure.
You know, I stayed up for that game, unfortunately, last night, and I had to ask myself, you know, do you think that Chris Sale has bought into the idea that he needs to be saved, right? Like, is it now in his head to where he's playing a game inside of the game, trying to save himself for later in the year so he doesn't run into the same problems he's run into over and over again. I'll get off the phone and get out of your way.
Yeah, so Ben, I think so. I mean, again, that's what it feels like. It feels like Sale has looked at this whole thing and said, it's not working. And honestly, last year, I think they sold him on it too. And it worked for a little while, and then he aired it out and he got hurt. Now, the difference between last year and other years is that there was an injury. And in other years, he just faded down the stretch. Last year, he actually got hurt and missed time. So now there is this other variable thrown in with Sale. Look, to me, all I'm saying is this. I'm not sure I'd be doing it the way the Red Sox are doing it with Chris Sale. They backed off their starters even more in the spring. Even if it was just by a percentage, they backed off. And with regards to Sale, it didn't work last year. It didn't work. So to me, what I would have done with Sale, build in a long break for him in the middle of the year. If you have to give him the month of July off, give him the month of July off. You pitch April, May, June. Take off July, you come back on August 1st. Or I'll tell you what, June 15th through the All-Star break. Whatever it is, June 15th to July 15th, give him a month off. Half before, half after, fine. That's the way it's going to work. Because what I saw last night, again, has me a little worried. Meanwhile, the Red Sox, he actually pitched okay, at least based on the results. Six innings, one run, 87 pitches. And given the way it started, not bad. Pretty efficient because he had high pitch totals in the first couple of innings. And now the Red Sox can't score, and apparently they can't run the bases either. We'll explain that next.
The Baseball Reporters, 98.5 The Sport.
BackstageCountry.com, your online home for all things country music. Like most fans of country music, we're excited to learn that Luke Combs was back in the studio working on his next album. We've come up with our list of iconic Luke Combs music videos. Yes, Lovin' On You made the cut. Text Luke to 45911 to see if your favorite made the list on BackstageCountry.com. Text Luke to 45911 and we'll send the link straight to your phone.
The Sox covered. This is the Baseball Reporters. Tony Mazzarotta, show that Red Sox Nation turns to first. 98.5, the Sports Hub.
High fly ball right center on the move. Laureano back to the track, back to the wall. It is high off the wall. Xander Bogaerts digging for two. Takes the turn. He's on his way to third. Here's the throw. He dives in. He's out.
Oh, my God.
Cut down at third base.
You got it. It went a little to the left. That ball's gone. It bounces off. Bogey's trying to get three. I said, no problem. He throws it all away. One hop. He's out. I don't know.
There was a little hesitation here. Right there.
So this is how it's going for the Red Sox right now. And I admit there's some bad luck in this thing, too. Okay, there is. But most of you were asleep. I don't blame you. I was, too, when this happened. And maybe you've seen the replay by now. I suspect you have. Ninth inning, one out against, what's his name, Blake? Is it Blake Treinen?
Blake Treinen, yeah.
Yeah, I mean, he's filthy, the A's closer. Although he crapped his pants last year in the playoffs against the Yankees. But that's neither here nor there. Nonetheless, Treinen is on the mound. Bogaerts absolutely smokes one to right center field with one out. I think he thought it was a home run. It hit the 388 foot sign. About, I don't know how big that wall out is in right center in Oakland. It's got to be 15 feet more, maybe 17, 18 feet. Hits right up at the top of the wall. I mean, Felger said this during the afternoon show. If the ball had been a foot to the left or a foot higher, it's a home run. Okay. Instead, it bounces off the wall. The center, Ramon Laureano, remember him, the guy who threw out Bogaerts at the plate the night before. Laureano allows the carom to bounce over his head, so Bogaerts sees that and breaks for third. I mean, he was easing up a little around second. He sees the ball bounce past Laureano and says, I'm going to third. Laureano chases after a ball that is rolling away from him, picks it up, on the fly, throws a one-hop strike and throws Bogaerts out at third base. So instead of having a man on second with one out in the ninth of a 1-0 game against a right-handed closer with two lefties coming up, the Red Sox have two outs, nobody on, and they lose the game 1-0. So after the game, Xander Bogaerts was asked about his decision to try to stretch into a triple. Here's what he said.
I mean, we got to be honest. I mean, we haven't been playing our best these last two games, and obviously our hitting hasn't been the way it normally is, and we'll just try to get to third, because the chances against that guy with a runner at third are obviously bigger than with a runner at second. Obviously, after the result, I wish I stayed, but I mean, if I had get to third, Mitch, I have felt pretty confident in Mitch getting me in, and that's what I had my whole mind while turning second.
So, look, I get the logic in Bogaerts going to third. You're on third base with less than two outs. Sack fly brings you in. Hell, a ground out brings you in. You know, maybe you force the A's to bring the infield in. You get a broken bat bleeder into the outfield. There's a million possibilities there. I get it. The only thing I'll tell you is that you're already in scoring position, and if you're going to go, you have to make it. You have to make it. You can't get thrown out there. So you got to make it to third. He didn't. They lost the game. It was only one reason they lost, maybe the biggest. Who knows? Again, Sale gave up another home run. The Red Sox can't keep the ball in the ballpark. They've played 54 innings this year. They've trailed in 48 of them. 48 innings they've been behind in the six games they've played. They're basically behind eight innings a night. It's really unbelievable. Okay? And I get the logic, but you cannot get thrown out there. And tell me this isn't the sign of a losing team when you're going like this. That at the beginning of the year, you're scoring some runs, but you can't get anybody out. Now you have a couple of games where your starters actually go six. And the second one was you on the bottom line better than the first. And now you can't score? 1-5. If you're listening to the afternoon show today, you know that we had a someone call in named Laura from Linfield. Felger kind of chuckled because he was expecting Laura from Linfield to have a very feminine voice. It was a little deeper than I think he expected. She's back on the phone, I think. Is this Laura? Laura, are you there? Okay, she's not there, so never mind.
You have to take your word for it if you missed it, or just listen to it on the podcast, because it was a little jarring once she got on the line.
Murray, did Bogaerts' base running play bother you last night?
When he looked back around second base, that's where I thought he made the mistake. I wanted him to stop at second anyway, and I was up watching this train wreck last night, and when I was half asleep, I was like, you know what, I'm gonna make sure I watch the end of this, because I didn't like where it was going, and I just wanted to watch, like, you know, to see if they could pull it off. And he got hit on the shin right before he had the hit, and he went down like it really hurt him. So coming out of the box, I don't blame him for not hustling maybe a little bit more than people expected, because I think he was still feeling it in his shin. That's why he didn't come out of the box as quickly as people wanted. When he looked into center field when he was trying to round second base, that's where I think he made the mistake and slowed up. He should have just stopped there, especially if he was feeling it in the shin, stop at second base.
So there are a bunch of things about that play that in retrospect you look at, and again, for those who missed it, top of the ninth last night, down 1-0, Xander Bogaerts hits one off the wall in right center. The short story is he tried to stretch to a triple. Ramon Laureano, the same guy who threw him out at home plate the night before, and what an arm this guy has. Arm strength is one thing. The accuracy is something altogether different. This guy hits the spot.
It's like Vlad Guerrero in his prime type stuff. He's ridiculous.
I don't know that I've ever seen accuracy like it. Really. I mean, I've seen a lot of guys with strong arms. Half the time, they don't know where it's always going. This guy not only is accurate, like deadly accurate. The fielders don't have to move. Chapman at third base last night just stood there, waited, received the ball, made the tag. So we had a caller call up today that said, well, you know, he's blocking the bag. Bogaerts goes head first. He can't get the, you know, if you go in spikes high, maybe you dissuade the guy or deter the guy from blocking the bag. And I do think there is some of that. The other thing I noticed on the play, if you go back and watch it, that Chapman is down on basically on one knee to receive the ball. And because of the head first slide, Bogaerts is flat to the ground. If he slides in feet first, he's basically going in the sitting position. And the throw coming from that part of the ballpark, I'm not sure it ever gets to Chapman. I think the ball hits Bogaerts in the back or in the back of the helmet, and that Chapman never puts a tag on him, and Bogaerts has a triple. So, you know, the more I watch it, I'm no fan of the head first slide, particularly in the first base. I think it's asking for an injury. I understand now that players do it regularly and feel that it's a way to avoid tags. And with that little swim move that they can do at second or third bases, that oftentimes you can avoid the tag. And with replay now, that's a big deal, right? I get that. I still like the idea of going in feet first. And so in this particular case, I think it would have really helped Bogaerts to get into the play safely. I honestly don't believe the ball would have gotten there. I think the ball would have hit Bogaerts in the back or in the back of the helmet, and Chapman never would have been able to apply the tag. But then this is how it's going for the Red Sox right now. Murray's get your headlines now.
BackstageCountry.com, your online home for all things country music. It's going to be a busy year for country superstar Jason Aldean. He's extended his Highway Desperado tour and is teaming up with Kid Rock for Rock the Country tour dates. We've ranked our top five Jason Aldean music videos. Text Jason to 45911 to see if your favorite made the list on BackstageCountry.com. Text Jason to 45911 and we'll send the link straight to your phone.
This is the Baseball Reporters.
Which makes all the sense in the world if you're the Red Sox.
With Tony Mazzarotti, 98.5, The Sports Hub.
So if you're a follower of this station, you know that we have the Hardcore Baseball Podcast as well, hosted by Matt McCarthy. Matt made an observation to me in the hallway that I had not, that is absolutely 100% true, and I should have connected dots on that I haven't yet regarding Chris Sale. I'm going to get to him in just 1 second. First, we'll squeeze in Jim, who's in a car, refers to himself as Optimistic Jim. Jim, what do you got?
Well, first of all, I know it's bothering you. I've decided to forgive you for not jumping on the bandwagon last year, and I know you were worried about that, so we're going to move on.
Yeah, no problem. You can forgive me. My job is not to jump on the bandwagon, but go ahead.
Two things. Bogaerts running last night, I think, honestly, 9 out of 10 times he's safe, but you just can't. I think he broke a cardinal rule. You cannot get thrown out of third base. Even if it's, you know, like I said, 10% chance he's going to get thrown out, he can't do that.
So Jim, Jim, look, his heart was in the right place, right? Like, you know, and he even said it, we've been struggling, you know, we couldn't, haven't been able to score runs, we haven't been hitting like we were supposed to, so I thought I could get to third. And I get it, but you can't get gunned down there. You just can't do it.
No, not when you're already in scoring position at second base. You're
exactly right.
So, all right, on Chris Sale, Tony, there is no, everybody's freaking out that he's sick, that, you know, his elbow, whatever, his shoulder. There's no way the Red Sox didn't give him a real thorough physical exam before they gave him that extension. I'm thinking it's more they have told him, listen, we don't need you throwing 97 in April, 91, 92. So I wanted to hear your thoughts on my point, which is they definitely would not have invested millions and millions of dollars if there was any chance he was unhealthy. Okay. What's your thoughts, Tony?
Okay, so Jim, look, I you know, to me, there's no question. You know, I've said a lot of things about the Red Sox over the years, and there are a lot of decisions that they've made that I haven't liked. But generally speaking, I mean, there are times where I think they do stupid things, but I don't think I've ever called them stupid, if that makes sense. And so, you know, sometimes I get a little worked up, I admit it, and that I probably go over the edge, but they're not dumb. They're not dumb. None of them, really. You know, John Henry has poured money into this team. They've won 4 titles. So I'm not going to sit here and tell you that they're stupid. And I have a hard time believing that Chris Sale would still be hurt. They would take an extremely cautious approach in spring training and then send him out there to start the regular season on time. Like, that doesn't add up to me, let alone the part that you're talking about, which is the contract. Then you're going to invest $145 million to a guy who's hurt? It makes no sense. None. Nonetheless, last night during the game, the Red Sox trainer was seen talking to Alex Cora in the early part of the game. It was the first or second inning. My guess is it was the second, because I don't think he would have been talking to him in the first, while Sale was on the mound. Maybe he wasn't even talking to Cora about Sale. But whatever it was hard to not connect the dots when Sale's throwing 88, 89 miles an hour. Which brings me to Matt McCarthy, again, the host of the Hardcore Baseball Podcast, and something he said in the hallway. Matt, repeat it.
This is exactly what happened to Chris Sale last year, Tony. He had trouble going out there every 5 days and making his next start, and when he did, the velocity was way down. We saw that. I mean, listen, this guy couldn't make his second start in the LCS or the World Series. And when he went out there every 5 days in September and October, the velocity was down from the previous start. It's a bad trend. You saw it in his first start this year. What you saw in the World Series, every single inning, the velocity would dip. He's wearing down again. That's my major concern with this guy. Is he seriously already worn down to begin the year? I'm not sure, but it looks like it.
So I don't know if it's an injury. Right, because again,
well, I don't think it's an injury. I mean, if there were an injury, if it were structural, that would have shown up. I mean, as the caller said, and it's true, they obviously put this guy through an examination before they signed him to a contract. But was there structural damage last year? No, and he was still hurt, and he still couldn't pitch. Again, couldn't make a second start in the LCS, couldn't make a second start in the World Series, could not bounce back every 5 days. And it looked to me like a guy who couldn't bounce back last night, at least when it comes to his velocity.
So I'll tell you, I had not even considered this, but it's a good point. And I think that, Murray, initially, wasn't there some discussion about the Red Sox using a sixth starter on the West Coast so that everybody could get an extra day of rest?
Yeah, there was, and it just never came to fruition.
So Sale started on his regular rest, 4 days in between starts, and his velocity drops 4 or 5 miles an hour. The trainer's talking to Cora in the dugout. Like, I don't know, now I'm eager to see whether he makes the next one on time. Because if you remember late last year, what happened was Sale would pitch, and then they would push him back a little bit. Like, all of a sudden, he wasn't going every 5 days. And in the postseason,
he couldn't go every 5 days. That's the thing, he couldn't.
And in the postseason, he absolutely could not do it. In fact, when I read something recently, Cora said that had the Red Sox somehow blown Game 5 of the World Series, Sale was done. He wasn't going to pitch again. That was it. So now, look, it's easy to say that in retrospect and, you know, make it more dramatic than it is. I don't know how you don't look at Sale at this stage and not be concerned about it.
Yeah, you have to be concerned. Absolutely. And listen, you know, they said that there was no structural damage last year. John Henry said that beginning of camp. Why does there have to be structural damage for there to be a problem with his shoulder? Why can't he just be a guy who's now 30 years old? We've seen it happen overnight in baseball. Tim Lincecum, who was as wiry and as every bit as dominant as Chris Sale was in his prime, he lost it overnight. Completely lost it overnight from 2011 to 2012. Why can't that happen with Chris Sale?
No, you're 100% right. With that kind of body makeup, I mean...
I thought I was negative.
That's the worst case scenario, but why can't that happen? And this is why I did not want them to sign Sale until he could prove that he could stay healthy for a full year, which he has not proven to any point, this point is in his major league career. Don't sign him when he can't stay healthy into August, September, and October. Do we even know if he's healthy now? I'm not sure.
I mean, the thing is, it's a mystery. I'm sorry. Once you dip into the 80s, I get scared. 88, 89 miles an hour. 88, 89 miles an hour.
For what you're used to seeing from that guy, yeah, you'd be crazy to not look at that and be concerned. And the easy thing to do after last night's game is to look at the stat line and be like, oh, well, see, it was only a 1-0 loss. He was good. He had one strikeout. One strikeout.
And no swings and misses on the fastball again.
Right.
Three words, Murray. Holy crap. Holy crap. Pete's in Millville. Pete, what do you got?
Yeah, hey, Tony, similar to what you guys are talking about, and it's why I did not like this signing in the first place. Last year, they actually babied Chris Sale a lot in the beginning of the year, and he had no chance of – he didn't do anything in a postseason where he was effective. And secondly, when you pay a guy $20-plus million a year, you're paying him to perform the entire year. Jeez, if I you know, got paid my salary, and I only had to perform for three quarters of the year, I'd be pretty happy. And that's why I'm so disappointed in the long-term deal with Sale.
Okay, so look, Pete, though, I'll say this, that I don't think that the reason to pitch him now is because, well, we're paying him $20 million a year or 20. You know, he's only making 15 right now, by the way, but we're paying him 29, and I want the full 32 starts. That's stupid. Nobody does that anymore. Nobody does. I mean, there are a few guys out there that are horses. Sale's not one of them. Let's accept the reality right now that he's not a horse. Okay, he's not. Before I continue with that, Murray has a Red Sox lineup. There is a notable absence from the Red Sox lineup, Murray.
Yeah. Turn the mic on, Jim. Yeah, Xander Bogaerts is not going to be playing tonight out of the lineup, and I kind of feel a little bit vindicated because I said, you know, he fouled a ball off his foot, shin. He went down like he got shot before he ended up having that, what ultimately got him, you know, he's tried to stretch that double into a triple. And he's not going to play tonight. Ian Brown here after that hard foul ball. He hit off his foot last night just before his unsuccessful mad dash to third. Bogaerts out of the lineup, so you have Brock Holt playing shortstop tonight.
Oh, goody.
No, Jim. Bogaerts is being punished for running into outs on the bases back-to-back nights. That's the real reason he's not in the lineup tonight.
Jimmy, John Farrell's not the manager anymore.
Oh, sorry.
No, but again, you know, you made a good point, Murray. Now he's not playing tonight. Let's take another call here. Matt's in the car. Matt, what do you got?
Hey, I just wanted to talk about sales velocity and stuff. I heard you and McCarthy talking about, you know, Cora possibly using a sixth guy. He did say at the beginning of the season that he was looking to use a sixth guy at the end of the West Coast trip so that Sale could start on opening day and give him an extra day's rest going into opening day. And one other thing I noticed, like in Sale starts, especially his first start, we all knew he was going to come out and not throw as hard at the beginning of the season, but I felt like you could see him not letting it loose in that first game, and you could really see him trying to slow it down and not get amped up and not throw as hard, just to appease a pitching coach and Cora and whatnot. So I'll hang up and listen.
Yeah, so look, again, I see someone dip into the 80s like that, and it alarms me. Okay, that's all. It alarms me. And by the way, giving the Sale and use a sixth starter at the end of the trip makes no sense. There's an off day Monday, and then they play Tuesday at home. So they're playing 11 in a row here. The only way to give Sale into the home opener would have been to start someone in the middle. Start a sixth guy in the middle. That's what I thought they were going to do. In any case, let me ask you this question while you're here, Matt McCarthy. The 1-5 start, and Murray, you too for that matter, does it alarm you? In the math now I'm talking about, does the math of a 1-5 start alarm you?
No. It's a small lowercase a right now. I mean, if they get to like 7 games behind in the division, like then I'm going to be strongly concerned, and it's, you know, capital A, ring the bell alarm. But no, they're good enough, especially offensively, to bounce back from this in the next handful of weeks.
Matt?
I'm not one bit concerned about this team as a whole. Concerned about Sale, not concerned about the team. Yankees lost again today. All right, Yankees have a ton of problems. Are the Rays going to run away with this division? No. Listen, it's going to take them a few weeks to get the starters ready to go. They don't want to tell you this. They don't want to admit that they approached spring training differently with the starters. They did. They only made 2 starts each, essentially. It's going to take them a few weeks for them to get back into midseason form. They'll be just fine.
Yeah. Okay, so let's play a little game here then, okay? I'm going to ask you guys a little trivia and see how you do. When's the last time they started this bad, 1-5 or worse?
2012.
Yeah, 2012, Bobby Valentine. How did that year go?
Oh, it was a complete disaster.
69-93, they finished dead last. This is not a last place team. I'm not telling you it's last place.
Right, he was a moron and they hated him. They didn't want to play for him. It was evident from the rip.
How about the time before that? Any idea? Before 2012, the last time they started out 1-5 or worse.
How about 2001?
How about 2011?
I was going to say 11 was really bad.
0-6.
0-6 that year.
I guess I forgot that.
They ended up winning 90 games, but you tell me, how do we look at the 2011 team?
Oh, God, one of the great disasters in Boston sports history.
They collapsed down the stretch, and you know what we said about that 2011 team? They had so much talent. They were cocky. They showed up. They threw their gloves on the field. They acted like they were too good to try. 2011. So back-to-back years, 1-5 in 2012, 0-6 in 2011. The time before that, anyone want to guess? You have to go back a little bit farther than that.
Oh, I said 2001.
Nope, farther. 96.
96.
96.
Right after winning the division.
They started 96. Out 3-15 and 6-19. Thank you for the peanut gallery, Jimmy. They started out 1-5 on their way to 3-15 and 6-19.
They started on the West Coast or Kansas City?
They won 85 games that year. They came back. But you know what the end result was? The start buried them. It buried them. And ultimately, it got the manager fired, but that's not going to happen here either because they're not that bad. They're better than all these things. All I'm telling you is this. Usually, this suggests
deeper issues and
a funk that lasts a little bit longer.
Yeah.
That's all. They weren't ready to go here at the start of the year. The starting pitchers weren't ready. They're not performing. They're now 1-5. And if they don't win tonight, oh boy, then it's time to really get worried. You know why? I'm going to tell you why, Matt McCarthy. We'll do that when we come back.
We have the Sox covered. The Baseball Reporters, 98.5, the Sports Hub.
BackstageCountry.com, your online home for all things country music. Like most of us, Keith Urban also has a bucket list. You may be surprised to learn what is and is not on his. Text Keith to 45911 to read and learn more about the central theme of Keith's bucket list. Get a link to the story sent right to your phone when you text Keith to 45911. Go inside country music at BackstageCountry.com.
The show that Red Sox Nation turns to first. The Baseball Reporters, 98.5, the Sports Hub.
I get accused of being very negative sometimes, Murray. Often, in fact. Do you think there's any truth in that statement?
Yes. We all do, though.
Yeah, well, it's okay. I mean, if you had said anything else, you'd have been lying. I'm a little negative. There's a guy on the line right now, though, Joe in Bedford. You know what the comment line says on his call? This is a sincere laugh. I find this comical. The comment line on this guy's call. April 3rd, the Red Sox are 1-5 after winning 119 games in the World Series the year before. His comment line says, when does Cora's job come into question?
Oh, come on.
So, Joe in Bedford, with all due respect, I'm not going to take your call tonight. So if you've been waiting, I'm sorry. Don't take it personally. I'm happy to have you on another night. Now is not the time to talk about the dismissal of the manager.
That's just silly.
It just isn't. We're just not there yet. Okay, the core has done a hell of a job since he's been here.
Even if they went 1-161, they're not going to fire him. Look how long that moron John Farrell lasted around here.
Exactly. But the reality is the Red Sox should be 0-6.
Of all the terrible calls, you're not taking that one?
No, there is a point, Jimmy, where I draw the line. I just draw the line and say that is an area that we cannot cross over.
You've
into.
Gone soft, Tony. I expected better from you.
You know, like Moonlight Graham steps over the line and he turns into a human being again. That is a line I'm not going to cross. Okay, I'm not stepping over that line.
Baseball, Ray.
But I told you that if the Red Sox don't win tonight, that's a bad sign. I'll tell you why. The opposing pitcher tonight, Marco Estrada. Okay, which brings me to the Big Y matchup of the game presented by Big Y World Class Market. Big Y serving the Massachusetts community for over 80 years. Marco Estrada, formerly of the Blue Jays, has lost 9 straight starts against the Red Sox.
Oof, what?
9 in a row. Well, let me rephrase. His team has lost his last 9 starts. Last year, Marco Estrada faced the Red Sox 3 times. He pitched a combined 14 2/3 innings. He gave up 13 runs and 22 hits. The Red Sox won all 3 games. The last 9 games that Marco Estrada has started against the Red Sox, his team has lost them all. Xander Bogaerts, Jackie Bradley, J.D. Martinez, and Mitch Moreland all have homered against Marco Estrada. Every single one of them is homered against Estrada. Bogaerts is not in the lineup, though.
That's correct.
Right? And actually,
being punished.
Despite the home run, his matchup numbers against Estrada are not very good. So, low average is the point. J.D. Martinez has hit him. And again, they teed off on this guy last year.
Not 2 years ago.
So, no, in fact, but you know what? He didn't beat them. Right? That's the bizarre part.
Right.
Is he shut them down in a couple of those games, Matt? But 9 straight starts that Marco Estrada has made against the Red Sox, his team has lost them all. So that's the guy you have to beat tonight.
And if they don't, it's DEFCON 1.
Boy, is it ever. Really.
You'll take that call tomorrow.
Yes, that tomorrow I will take the call. Celtics and Miami Heat coming up at 7:30. Celtics pregame is next. It's not Grandy and Max. It's John Wallach and Leon Powell.
Leon Pope.
I know. I was marking Phil Jackson, if you remember that one, yes. Mark. Leon Poe and John Wallach, everybody. We'll see you tomorrow.
BackstageCountry.com, your online home for all things country music. It's going to be a busy year for country superstar Jason Aldean. He's extended his Highway Desperado tour and is teaming up with Kid Rock for Rock the Country tour dates. We've ranked our top five Jason Aldean music videos. Text Jason to 45911 to see if your favorite made the list on BackstageCountry.com. Text Jason to 45911 and we'll send the link straight to your phone.